So good morning. This is Ajahn Brahm here from Western Australia, from Serpentine, from our Jhana Grove Monastery Retreat Centre Hall, and doing some service over here in Western Australia. The COVID restrictions have been almost totally relieved. So soon we'll be able to do our entry to the Rains Day on Sunday, and depending on the weather, can have as many people as we like, which is wonderful to see just how, with a little bit of restraint and people keeping their rules and acting responsibly, just how that gives us a lot of freedom. And that is the same way with things like keeping precepts. As we live a virtuous life, we find it's not a burden at all, but it's like a freedom. Too many people in our world, they look at things like precepts. They look at monks and nuns who keep so many precepts and believe that that must be a great burden for them. But really, it's not a burden at all. It's a great freedom, a great liberation. So many things we do not have to be concerned about or worried about. And we have this wonderful sense of goodness and kindness and fearlessness. So we can go out into the world and just people trust us. In all those years that we have been sort of here in this part of the world, the trust which people have given us is quite astounding sometimes. And the story I remember was going into the hardware shop many, many, many years ago. And because I was the person doing most of the buildings, I would do most of the ordering of the stuff as well. And as you went into that hardware shop, it was just so full of people. I waited patiently in queue, because you don't push yourself forward at all. And when it was my turn, I needed a colour chart. They gave me the colour chart, but it was so big to open. I tried to open it, but there's too many people around, so I'm trying to find a nice quiet place. I must admit I was more concerned about the others than really realising where I was going. And I found a nice quiet place, with a little bit of space in front of everybody, but at least I could open the book. And I put it down on what turned out to be the cash register. And as I put the book down, ding, and the day's takings in a hardware shop, many thousands of dollars, the tray came right out in front of me. And all the visitors there, the plumbers and the builders and the bricklayers, they suddenly went quiet. To all intents and purposes, it looked like Ajahn Brahm was robbing their shop. And one of them said, better look at that guy. So Ron, he was the person who owned the shop. And then Ron took one look at me and said, that guy can't even touch the money. And he walked away. And it was really convenient with the open sort of drawer. I could lay the book down on there and actually turn the pages and had a bit of space. It was very convenient. And then someone else locked the cash register afterwards. But what I really remember from that scene was the trust which Ron had with me, the owner of the shop, late in the afternoon, all the day's takings. I could just put some in my bag if I really wanted to, if I could. But of course, you don't want to do that. Someone trusted you. They knew you for so many years. These guys can't even touch the stuff, let alone steal it. And so it was very convenient. And that was a wonderful gesture of gratitude which I have for him, and trust which he had for me. And that makes life-keeping precepts much easier for people, which is one of the reasons why that coming up to our Rains retreat soon, and it's one of those times that people make an extra resolution to try a bit harder to restrain yourself from some of those problems which we have in life, caused by just greed, hatred and delusion. Just wanting things at the expense of others or at the expense of ourselves. So little by little, we make little resolutions and we find that every time we do keep an extra precept, every time we do let go of something, we find we're more free. Every time we let go of something, it's obvious, isn't it, when you give it the right language. It's not sort of adding another precept to your heavy backpack, is taking things out. So you're letting go more and more and more of what you want, what you need, what you have to have in this world. which is why you feel this wonderful sense of freedom. But not only that freedom from worries and concern, it's also you feel more in power over your life. It was a strange phenomenon, but when I was a lay person, and when I did start giving up some of my indulgences, the one I remember most of all was alcohol, when I gave that up, you felt so much more in power over your life. You weren't under the control of either alcohol, I actually never took drugs, not under the control of other chemicals in your body. You were free, you're in charge. And that made, again, a very great influence on me to see that it wasn't really giving up anything to actually to keep precepts, except giving up problems and difficulties. It was taking on this wonderful sense of I'm in charge of my life, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And I can't see any sort of negativity or any problems or any bad side effects of those precepts. So that's one of the reasons why during the range retreat we try our very best. And the extreme case in my life, or not in actually my life, but in my career as a monk, was when there was a gentleman, my first years in Thailand, who was a Thai gentleman, and he was an alcoholic. But he came up to us and he said, during the Wasa period for 3 months, I'm not going to drink any alcohol from sunrise to sunset. And this gentleman, that was a very big sacrifice for him. You could see it. He would come to the temple and try and hang out in the temple all day because he knew there was no alcohol there, and to try and make sure he kept his precept. And he was waiting and waiting and waiting in the evening for sunset to actually have some alcohol. And he had a big top up before the sun rose because that's the best he could do. But for him, that was such a hard task. And after the range retreat, he'd done the 90 days of the range retreat, or 89 days of the range retreat, without taking alcohol from sunrise to sunset. Wonderful, a great achievement for someone like that. And hopefully, maybe next year, you can maybe try a little bit more. And that is actually the way we take control over our desires rather than being controlled by our desires. Too often in our life, we think we are free, but it's not real freedom. It's a freedom of desire rather than the freedom from desire. And getting to understand the real freedom of life is being free from desire, so you just don't want anything, you don't need it. You know, if something comes, I don't actually why that somebody brought us a nice breakfast this morning, but if somebody comes and it's allowable, you can eat it. But you don't go searching for it or wanting it. And that way in life, life becomes so much more happy. All the time when I've been out searching for things, it always tends to go wrong. There was the one time where we could make our own tea and coffee when I was a young monk in Thailand, was when we were sewing robes and dyeing robes, you know, which we did ourselves. These robes were not bought by a shop. There were no shops in that part of Thailand when I was a young monk. So we had to make it out of white cloth, sew it together, make the dye, natural dye from jackfruit wood, and then eventually just dye it, very labor intensive. And because of the amount of work, the monks would have to stay up all night to actually make the robes. So there was a few monks making the robes again, and I sort of gave them a little bit of hand in the evening before I went to bed. And they said, "Oh, Ajahn Brahm, if you want a cup of tea in the morning, you can always come up here. We'll give you a cup of tea when you first wake up." So I went to bed, and as I went to bed, I said, "No, I'm not going to indulge and get myself a cup of tea or coffee. Now that's indulgence, that's wanting." But what happened was I woke up a little bit early, I think 10 minutes to 3, and I think, why not? So I went walking to the dyeing shed to get a cup of coffee, following my desires. And when I got to the dyeing shed, it was all closed down. The monks had left, they'd finished their dyeing, everything was tidied up and put away. I thought, oh my goodness, now they're finished earlier than expected. And as I was walking to that dyeing shed, I heard the bell ring for 3 o'clock. And so from there I went to, might as well go to the hoarders, the meditation and the morning chanting. And after morning chanting was finished, I met those monks and they said, "Where were you at 3 o'clock in the morning? We came to your hut with a cup of coffee. We thought we'd surprise you and give you a treat because you helped us last night." And I said, "At 3 o'clock when the bell went, I was walking to you, but we went on a different path and we never met each other." And I thought that was a great lesson for me, Ajahn Brahm. If you didn't want anything, it would come to you. But when you went chasing it and walking towards it, it went a different direction and I missed out. So often my life has been like that. You search for something, you really go out for it, you want to get it, and you miss it. Which is one of the reasons why the whole path, whether it's keeping precepts or whether it's meditating, it's all about letting things go. Just leaving them alone and not chasing things in the world. If you chase things in the world, all you're chasing is frustration and disappointment. So instead of that, we can learn how just to sit here, be peaceful. And it's amazing how much of my life, the things which I need, have come to me without needing to seek them. So that's a trust. And people say, "Oh, it doesn't work." But have you tried that? Have you really tried trusting? When there's something you need, it will be there for you. Something you really need. And certainly you have to trust that when you're sitting down meditating. Too many people in this world are just trying to get things, search for things. But when you're meditating, that's totally the opposite attitude. You spend all your life searching for things, trying to attain things, trying to get something, trying to achieve something, and measuring yourself by what you've achieved. Have you ever noticed if you achieve something, you lose it later on? It fades away. All those degrees, those achievements, those attainments, after a while you haven't got them anymore. The body fades, the brain sort of fades. So what are you doing that for? Because there's something else which is more important, this wonderful sense of like being here, instead of trying to get somewhere. Learning how to let things go, rather than sort of carry more stuff around in you. Learning how just to appreciate this moment rather than trying to accumulate things. Because here, this is a beautiful monasteries which we live in. And if we're not even in a monastery, beautiful parts of the world, even in the city, some beautiful people you see in parts of the city. And you can appreciate where you are without needing to own it. Which is one of the reasons why that when we own things, we tend to worry about them. And control them. We don't own anything. Imagine what it's like not owning something. Imagine what it's like not owning anything. Except your good karma. Except your trust, your goodness, and your kindness. If you have those qualities, goodness, kindness, you are rich. You find you'll never want for anything in this world. You always have a kind person gives you a place to stay. You always find enough food. What more do you want in life? And what more do you need in life? The more important question. So little by little, as we let go more and more, as we become more free, as we become more empty, we find we become more full of anything we ever needed in life. There's sometimes that this will be the 37th, crikey, 37th Rains Retreat here at Bodhinyana Monastery. So many years, when we first came here, you had to work. But now, the facilities, quite frankly, are almost luxurious by monks' standards and nuns' standards as well. And those facilities, lots of hard work, and I remember just sacrificing a lot of time to build those, so that when they're built, now we can be at peace and relax. But how many people in this world, they never stop building. They never stop accumulating. They never stop doing anything, or most of the day they die. We lost the ability to retire. Retire from the world. 60, 65, 70. What do people do when they retire? They don't know what to do. All that working which you did, all that going to the office, all that waiting in traffic jams to get to work or get home again, all that looking after your children. You did that so they can give them a good life. So then you can retire and find some peace. Retreats are like that for monks. It's 3 months of retirement where we monks and nuns can be at peace, could just meditate peacefully and enjoy this moment in stillness and sometimes even in bliss. Get so much insights into the nature of this world and wonder why it is that people always want to do so much. Why can't we just sit still and be quiet and enjoy this moment and let this world settle down? So little by little, we look upon this as a retreat, or as I often say, like retirement. Retire for 3 months. And this is a little bit of a segue into the meditation, because a couple of nights ago somebody asked me, can you please repeat the little meditation which I did last Vaisak, the Buddha's anniversary of the Buddha's a birth, enlightenment, and final passing away. The little meditation of what it must have been like when a Buddha becomes enlightened. That all the work finished, could really retire. Retire so peacefully, so still, with nothing needed to be fixed, ever. With nothing missing, ever. With nothing needing to gain, ever. Beautiful sense of peace. And I was using just something which I remembered from the little bit of, I wasn't a professional actor, I hardly did any acting at all, except in like school plays. But I do remember just reading about people who are such great actors, they almost become the character they acted. They almost assume some of those characteristics, personality, even some of the physical shape of the person they were trying to portray on the screens or on the theatre. And I use that to a wonderful effect when people imagine that they are the Buddha under a Bodhi tree, just emerging from full enlightenment, what it must feel like. So by request of a dear disciple overseas, this is the meditation I'm going to do for everyone today. Guided meditation on just what it must be like to be a Buddha, fully enlightened. So if you like to cross your legs or lean the legs or dangle the legs over the chair if you're sitting on a chair, tuck them under a stool if you're sitting on a stool or wherever you have your body, we'll just do a little bit of body relaxation first of all, and then go into the main meditation. Just sitting here. I always say the same words, sitting here. Just to help bring the attention from all the other places you've come from, all the other places you have to go later on. But now you come here. Wherever that here happens to be. Here is the center of the universe for you. So come to its center, its heart. And sitting here, you can feel your body. We often let people know, bring to their attention, the Buddha sat in such a beautiful location in Bodh Gaya, years and years and years ago, before there was hardly any buildings at all. It was just a park by a river. No one was there. Under the shade of a Bodhi tree. On a cushion made of grass. Having finished a delicious meal, which was literally intended for a heavenly spirit. And having eaten under the shade of a tree, under a comfortable seat, the Buddha decided, the Buddha meditated and let go totally. You're sitting, I don't know where you're sitting in the world, closing your eyes. Imagine, just imagine, visualize that you are in Bodh Gaya or by some wonderful park close to a river on a comfortable day. No mosquitoes, no flies, no sound of aircraft or cars or people. Just silence and solitude. Safe. Just feeling your body sitting here. Just being kind to this body which serves you. Sometimes we have assistance, people who look after us, parents. It's wonderful to say to them, thank you, to show appreciation, gratitude. You really looked after me. Thank you so much. I say that sometimes to the car in which I ride. It tends to not have too many mechanical problems. Say that to your body sitting here. Body, thank you for looking after me as best you can. Now I'm going to care for you. Legs, are you comfortable? Is there anything you need to be adjusted? Just asking that question is sometimes enough to calm the legs down. Bottom, buttocks, how are you? Do you need adjusting? And if you don't, I'm going to adjust you because this shows that I care for you. Back, how's the back? Give it a nice old stretch. Just because I care. Shoulders, just relax. Beautiful sense of kindness, which can ease any tightness. The shoulders relax to the max. And arms, you sure you're in a good position, arms. I actually talk to my body. As I talk to the birds and the kangaroos in the Monash where I live, and I'm convinced over so many years they can understand some of the meaning of what I say. Reassurance and kindness. And then my hands. I care for you, hands. You sure you're comfortable? Back up to my shoulders and neck. Even though my neck was quite okay, I just always give it a good turn around. You move my head from left to right, really giving it a good stretch to making sure, not taking it for granted, that my neck is comfortable. Then my head. All those muscles on the front of the face. All relaxed. At ease. Not holding anything tight. And I stay at each place as long as my body needs. I'm not running the agenda. I'm caring for my body. It runs the agenda. When it's ready, I can just be aware of my whole body sitting here. Wow, it's really a peace. It's at ease. It feels delightful. It's the delight of relaxation. the perception of which I've cultivated over so many years. Because when I see it, I know, yeah, that's going to make my body more relaxed and more healthy. And it keeps me in this moment. It keeps me silent. With no inner chatter. And then when my body's relaxed, I can move to relaxing my mind. Instead of going to the peaceometer, I'm now going to go off into the recollection of a Buddha. Imagine you're acting in a play for a good cause. It's a wonderful thing you're doing. You're playing the part of a newly enlightened being, a Buddha. Just imagine that you're sitting on this cushion made of grass. You had a good meal. You're sitting in a quiet, comfortable environment under a tree, under a Bodhi tree. Its leaves have these beautiful pointed tapers. You're sitting there, so peaceful, so at ease, because you've just come out of full enlightenment. Imagine that you are fully enlightened. Just imagine it, what it must be like. There's nothing you want in the whole world. Nothing. All those aspirations and struggles, all that hard work, that pain, that giving up, all of that is now gone. You know there's nothing more for you to do. But all tasks have been completed. You're an arahat, enlightened one. This is real retirement. Whatever task had to be done, you've really done it. You're at peace. People in the world have all these unfinished business, these things to be done, these bucket lists of things they want to do, these people that they haven't reconciled with, all that unfinished business. You no longer have any of that. You have no business at all. You really are free. Much business is a result of being afraid what might happen, what might go wrong. You have no fear now. Fear has been let go of. Will never arise again. There's nothing you can lose. Nothing you own. You're just aware and at peace. All that needed to be strived for has been achieved. And actually all of that was just letting go. You're a Buddha. Free. You can feel the peace like nothing you've experienced before. The peace which can't be disturbed. Why? Because there's no business to disturb it left. All business, all things to do are gone. And all judging, trying to meet other people's expectations, trying to live up to your own expectations. You've got no expectations anymore. There's nothing left to live up to. Nothing to be judged. You really are at peace. Sitting quietly, enjoying freedom from all desires, every one of them. Freedom from all ill will. You know, whatever happens in the future now, it's not that important. You aren't your body. So any pain, sickness or health, it's not centrally important anymore. Success, failure, that's gone. It's not important. That's other people's judgments. It doesn't belong to you any longer. Your family, the world is your family. Not this person or that person. You're totally free of all these attachments which weighed you down. They almost sunk you back into samsara. With all of those attachments, ownerships, things which you thought belonged to you, all of that gone. You're lighter than a feather. The mind is free, peaceful, liberated. Imagine what it must be like. The Buddha sitting there. No sense of, yeah, I've done it. No one's done it. There's no one there. Totally at peace. Not reacting to anything in the world. There's nothing to do the reacting. Just all there ever was this moment. Empty, still. All plans, many of which go wrong, all plans which are so hard to make, now are irrelevant. You don't need to think of the future. By being in this moment, the future evolves by itself perfectly. It's like when you let the body be, it tends to heal. You let the future be, and it heals. All you can feel is the gentle wind just drifting over the Bodh Gaya Grove, clean and fresh. It's the wind of this moment, pure. It brings nothing, it takes nothing away. Where the wind comes from, where the past comes from, you don't know. Where it goes to, you can't tell. You only know the wind as it's passing you in this moment. the Buddha under a Bodhi tree, experiencing the delight of the most simple and empty. With the wonderful realization there's nothing to be done, nothing to be improved, nothing to be got rid of. Perfection with nothing. It's a wonderful sense of freedom, ease. And there's something there. There's always something to protect and hold on to, and there's nothing there. There is stillness and freedom. A beautiful joy, beauty, delight, a flavor which the Buddha said is like some bodhisukha, the happiness of awakening, real awakening, enlightened awakening. I'm now going to be quiet for 5 minutes. act like a Buddha under a Bodhi tree with no business, nothing to fix or change or build. Imagine the freedom of having nothing to do, literally, fully. So retired from the world, you're free. Free to embrace the sound of the bird, or the coolness, or the heat of the day. How does your mind feel? How peaceful are you? How does the body feel? How relaxed? If you want to discover how to relax your body, to learn how to have great sleeps at night, learn how to be physically healthy, you have many insights into those answers to those questions. Right now, it's not theory anymore. This is your own personal direct experience of peace, of freedom, retiring once and for all from samsara. Never needing to go back to work ever again. Now I'm going to ring the gong, rather just let it chime. Now I'll give my blessing to you all. Or rather, share our blessings with each other. Sabaroga Winimuto Sabasanta Pawajito Sabawira Matigando Nibuto Chatuang Bawa Sabitio Iwa Chantu Sabarogo Winasatu Mate Bawan Wantarayo Sukhiti Gayuko Pawa Apiwadan Hasili Sanichang Wuta Pachalino Chataro Dhamma Watanti Ayuano Sukhang. May you all be in good health and at peace with your life. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.